Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, as my cousin would say. Ooh, that's my jam. On this December the 8th, thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all you first responders and teachers in Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay.
There you go. Thomaston, Georgia.
Shout out to the wonderful folks. That's home, the GHSA home office.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been in trouble, folks down there.
They send you there?
They send you down there and they tell you, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to save my stuff because, like I said, we got a special guest coming up here, and I actually would like you to do the honors, sir.
Would you?
Well, I ain't been on the porch.
Good. Well, that's okay. Well, there's still time.
And
there's room. There's time in
there
this room. Yeah.
And rocking chair for me?
You go this weekend. They're going to be here this weekend. Yeah, we'll tell you what. We'll let him announce who it is. Oh, my goodness. Joining us.
I can hear him snickering.
Friend of the show, always great to have him on because this event has become something we always look forward to here in the city of Atlanta, the Celebration Bowl. It's less than a week away, and John Grant, executive director of the Cricket Celebration Bowl, joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
And where are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm actually sitting in the airport in Jackson, Mississippi, on my way back to Atlanta.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo.
That's how important it was, Sam. When you said get on, I'm on.
He's on. All right. Outstanding. Well, we're going to let you roll out the matchup that people are going to get to see. Who are we going to get to see here in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, for the Cricket Celebration Bowl?
I think we have one of the best matchups we can have. Two ranked FCS teams. The South Carolina State Bulldogs will be representing the Mideastern Athletic Conference with the head coach, Chinnis Berry. And yesterday, Jackson State University Tigers under head coach T.C. Taylor clinched for the SWAC. So we'll have the Bulldogs versus the Tigers in this year's Cricket Celebration Bowl.
When you get to your seat and you're ready for the kickoff of the game and you take a moment to kind of reflect as you sit here in December 2024, what makes you proudest about your time connected with the, now Cricket Celebration Bowl and its growth?
Well, I think the proudest thing for me, Greg, and that's a great question, is that we're able to build a franchise for Atlanta that adds to our diversity, the diversity of our sports portfolio. That it is we've added an annual national championship that broadcasts on ABC National Network, which also highlights Atlanta as a great sports city in the South. So I think we're most proud of that.
Folks, spending time with John Grant talking about the Celebration Bowl. There's so much that's going to take place this week because we have the games, the game, obviously, and other activities with the teams, but you also have the Band of the Year. There's a lot of moving parts to this, but there's some things that people, something that everybody can come out and be a part of, right?
Absolutely. So we've added, last year, this is our second year, a national championship for marching bands. So Division II, Division I, and an additional component for this year was high schools. So we'll have Southwest DeKalb will be taking on Jonesboro High for the Metro Atlanta High School Band of the Year Championship. Virginia State University will be taking on Miles College in the Division II level for the Band of the Year Championship at Division II. And then North Carolina A&T, the defending champion, will be taking on Florida A&M University Marching 100 at the Division I level. So some tremendous matchups. We're proud of each of those programs for earning their way into the Band of the Year National Championship. And I do want to announce, we announced earlier this week that Red Lobster has signed on as the title sponsor for the now Red Lobster Band of the Year National Championship.
All right, now,
there you go.
Cheddar biscuits for everybody. That's what I'm talking
about. You know that.
That's what I'm talking about.
The first thing you think of.
I want mine as soon as they get there. Before they play the first note, I'm looking for my cheddar biscuit. Folks, yeah. We're spending time with the Way For It. With John Grant, Executive Director of the Celebration Bowl. Let me talk to you about something, and you got to take a little bit of pride in this, too. We had a couple of coaches that were announced as Division I jobs who coached teams in the Celebration Bowl. One coming to this area, Coach Jerry Mack, is going to be the new head coach at Kennesaw State, coaching the Celebration Bowl. And just yesterday, Coach Willie Simmons, who had been at Florida A&M, is going to Florida International. Let me let you reflect on that just a little bit, that these men have led teams to the Celebration Bowl on their way to where the destinations that they've reached professionally.
Well, you know, from the outset, those were goals of both of those gentlemen. You know, we're proud of Jerry Mack. He led the North Carolina, the 2016 North Carolina Central Eagles here to the Celebration Bowl against Grambling University. And then, of course, Willie Simmons, who won the national championship last year, is still currently the reigning coach for the Cricket Celebration Bowl National Championship. So proud of him and that announcement. I had a great conversation with him on yesterday, and certainly with Jerry Mack coming into Atlanta at Kennesaw State, just happy for him as well.
I have been talking to people who asked me to ask you when I got a chance to have you back on the show, is that the state of the HBCUs post, actually, to be specific, Jackson State, the demise of Jackson State post Coach Prime was premature, and what he left in the cupboard and what was left as far as the visibility of HBCUs, HBCUs are still in place. Would you say that's the case?
I think absolutely that's the case, and even more so than before. And certainly what Coach Prime did was provide that shot of adrenaline into the arm of HBCU football programs across the entire HBCU diaspora. And it also created an opportunity for other coaches and programs to up their game. And I think that's what we're seeing now, a lot more attention, visibility, but also the competitive environment out there has become even stronger. So we have to certainly acknowledge the fact that his presence did provide that. And certainly for Jackson State, we're happy to see them back. This year, we think we're going to have a tremendous matchup with them in South Carolina State. It's a rematch from 2021. So, as I was told down here, there's some get back, as they called it.
yeah.
Some get back in the air and they're ready for it when they get to Atlanta this weekend on Saturday.
We just heard you a little while ago, John, talk about how proud you are in the growth of this this bowl game. What's next then? Where would you like to see? Visions of grandeur, right? Where would you like to see this bowl go to, if not next, but just eventually get to, if not where it presently is?
Well, I'd like to be able to hopefully long past Greg, past you, Sam, and I, that, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, that that the Celebration Bowl will certainly be a mainstay as a part of the entire football bowl ecosystem. I'm absolutely confident if we do the things correctly that we're doing right now, and with the fan support that we have today and support from people, Greg, like you and Sam, that's what will create this for our city. It'll continue to differentiate Atlanta from any other city in the country, because there's only one Celebration Bowl. There's only one national championship, because there are only two Division I conferences, and Atlanta has it. It's a prize that we should be proud of as a city, and one that we should make sure we're working very hard to keep.
Yes, we are. Absolutely, absolutely. Teams are going to arrive in town when? Because usually there's a week in between this, but the SWAC championship is going to SWAC champion has to leave that game and come right to Atlanta this week. And I'm sure they always look forward to some things they get to do and some activities they get. The main thing, though, is to get ready for this game.
That's correct. So teams will arrive on Wednesday. We've pared the schedule back from what we've had in previous years because, Sam, of the narrow window and the shortened time frame, so that they could have much more time to focus on preparation. But they will arrive on Wednesday. We have some Coca-Cola sponsoring the Taste of the Celebration Bowl for their arrival, a welcome dinner. The NFL will have a partnership with them on Thursday morning, which is careers in the NFL off the field. Okay. And then they have the rest of the day on Thursday to get ready, prepare. And then Thursday night, we have an event called the Champion Circle Showcase, where we will be inducting Coach Willie Simmons into our Champion Circle. That circle is comprised of coaches who have won the Celebration Bowl. That's the only way you can join that club, is to be a champion coach. So he'll be coming into town to receive his red jacket and to be inducted into that illustrious group. And then certainly on Friday, we have we'll have press conferences at the stadium. They'll have walkthroughs and get ready for the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And of course, don't let me forget, Friday night is our band of the year at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Now, tell tickets available for both events. If people want to check on tickets, where do they need to go?
You can visit for the Celebration Bowl. Just go to the website, Celebration Bowl website, and get tickets there. And certainly for Band of the Year, you can visit our website, Band of the Year, and purchase tickets there as well.
All right, folks. That gets you set. It's an exciting week as always. It's just a few days away, and it's going to be a great time as always. And great competition, and it kicks off the bowl season, 12 noon on Saturday. It'll be on ABC. People across the country, around the world, will get to see what we're doing here in Atlanta. But John, we appreciate you spending some time. I know you're about to step on your flight.
Yeah.
Safe travels. Get home. Get you a little bit of rest, because you got a busy week coming up.
Yeah, he does.
But look forward to seeing you. Thanks so much for being on with us.
And thank you for getting up and joining us, John.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, man.
Nice.
He's
sounding like he's, you know, he's looking to come back and put his feet up for the day.
Yeah, he need to. He's been moving around with these teams. Now he's got them all set. Everybody's headed to town. Gonna have a good time this week.
Mm. Yeah. Coming up next, we go from one to another.
And I want Steve my Holt. Cheddar. I want my cheddar biscuits too.
Sponsored by
Red Lobster.
We coming up next. Going to talk Hawks and Denver. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, December the 8th. Going from one great interview to another one. We haven't had Steve on in a minute.
I know.
Where's he been?
Been busy with a team that's hot.
Yeah, well, that's probably why. I'm glad we got him on the phone.
I know. I'm glad he's got time for us, man.
I got a feeling, because I had a feeling, you know, with the industry here, somebody might have grabbed him to be a voice in one of these movies.
I could see him doing that.
I'm trying to get him there. Anyway, we welcome Mr. Steve. Yeah, we just like making him cracking him up. Good morning, Steve.
How morning, Steve.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing today?
We're doing fantastic, but we're not doing as well as you are.
Wow,
because you've been following this team that has been simply amazing of late. What do you make of it?
Well, the main difference is that, you know, everybody's healthy now. I think that was – it seems fairly simple to think that, but that's basically what it's been since everybody got back and healthy, you know, and Quinn started to – you know, he's been able to work the rotations kind of the way he's wanted to. And, it's been terrific. The defense has been good with everybody. The Dyson Daniels thing is catchy, I think. Everybody's getting involved in that. But having everybody back and healthy has been the main reason that they've been able to, you know, get on track here and win these six in a row.
Steve, is your opinion different from last year to this year with the in-season tournament?
I liked it last year. It's just it was very confusing, and it's still confusing to me. I just know that we go to New York Wednesday and play there, and if we win, we go to Vegas. I know that. We're going to have a couple of days at the tables if we win, so that's a good thing. I am going to stop at my bank, I guess, before I go to New York Tuesday.
But when you talk about the confusing part of it, do you see them trying to the league, that is, do you see them trying to address these issues?
Well, they might. I think if it was me, I'd like condense it a little bit more and have it more, you know, all within maybe a 1 week period where everybody knows what's happening, and it's all tournament games, because one night you have a tournament game, the next night you don't. For instance, when we played Cleveland two in a row, we played them up there on Wednesday, and then the day after Thanksgiving, we came back here and played a day game, and that turned out that was the tournament game, but the Wednesday game up there was not. So that's the part I think that if they're going to look at something, that might be it.
We know you do, Steve. You just win all of them, like the Hawks have been doing lately.
And I think you don't have to worry about it then. You just keep winning, and and don't worry. But it is. I think it's been good. I think people have taken more notice of it this year. The ratings were very good on TV last year with it. So we'll see. I mean, this year it's some different teams in there, like the Hawks and the Knicks are in there this year. So. We've beaten the Knicks once already this year. We've lost to them once, beaten them once. So we'll see. I think Dyson Daniels did a great job last time we played them on Brunson, and that was a key to that victory that night. But, you know, first things first today, though, the Hawks have the Nuggets coming in, and that's certainly no day at the beach either.
You know, I was thinking about this. I had to actually stop Sam from asking this question because this is relevant now. So LeBron's in the building the other night, and – this ran across my head. I said, I'm going to ask this to Steve. You've been in the building when Jordan's been in there. You've been in there when LeBron was at his zenith as far as what he is. I'm not talking about 40-year-old LeBron. What's the – and Kobe.
Kobe, yeah.
Michael Jordan.
That's what I said. I said Michael
Larry
first.
Bird.
Michael, Larry.
Yes. I've been around a long time.
I'm not going to ask who had the most excitement and what was the thickest as far as anticipation, but do they all bring a certain kind of energy that's indescribable when they show up into the building, and does LeBron have that?
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, that come in, and the Lakers bring that everywhere. I mean, I was watching the Boston game, and they had people in Lakers stuff. So, you know, it's not something that's just here, you know, that happens here. I would say the most exciting I think I've seen people is when, of course, Michael Jordan was here. At the time was a world record crowd at the over at the Dome, and we had like 60,000 people there to watch that last time in. And then it turned out it wasn't his last time in. He came in again wearing that 45, and I remember he dribbled right down the lane and scored over Smitty, and they won a game, and that was pretty exciting too. But when Kobe was in, it was always pretty exciting, and just all of them. But mostly, you know, a lot of times they're Hawks fans that have a certain player that they like, you know, and the rest of the time they're Hawks fans. There's a certain few of the crowds that come in, I guess, that are a little different. But I noticed the other night the Hawks fans really drowned out the Laker people, and there weren't nearly as many Laker people as usual. in the building that night, and a particular sticks out to me, the Knicks game when we won, sent all those people home. You know, that was great.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know, I think slowly but surely, people really like our team. You know, I mean, it's a likable team. Fans like it, and I think people are coming around. And you know, as I've said a lot of times over the years, you know, once we get the second, third generation of Hawks fans and Braves fans and Falcons fans, because all these old up north cities have been around for years and years. I mean, you know, we're relatively new into it. 68, you know, 65, 66, 68, you know, sounds like a long time ago now, but, you know, compared to those other places, it really wasn't. So I think we're starting to get, I see it a lot more. I see kids that were kids, you know, when the teams were coming up, now they have their kids and they bring them to the games. They're Hawks fans, they're Braves fans, they're Falcons fans, you know, so, I think that the tide has really turned quite a bit.
Fantastic. Always great to spend some time. Always a treat when we can spend some time with the Voice of the Hawks.
Absolutely.
And he is social. You can always find him at Real Voice of Hawk, Real Voice of Hawk, Steve Holman. Talk about somebody that's healthy and has kind of shifted his role and has been beneficial to this team, DeAndre Hunter. Talk about the difference he's making, Steve.
Well, I mean, he's just been terrific, and he's definitely – you know, a six-man candidate for sure right now. But, you know, he seems, you know, happy with it. He's comfortable with it. You know, he's scoring at a great pace. He's knocking down three-pointers now. It looks like they're so smooth that, you know, it almost looks like he can't miss. And that's what happens when guys get into a groove like that. You know, Bogey's a great example of somebody who's really streaky like that. When he gets really hot, you know, he starts to you just know that everything he puts up there is going to go in like it did the other night at the end. So. But DeAndre has been great. You know, I think it's been good for him. You know, a lot of guys that you talk to over the years said they like playing in the second unit because they were playing against the second unit of the other team. So, you know, you weren't playing the real frontline players of the other team. You were able to get in against, you know, get some of the subs. So, but he's been great, and he's right in the middle of that rotation. I think the great thing about Quinn's rotations are that, you know, the old saying, it doesn't matter whether you start or whatever, it's, you know, that's true. I don't think any of these guys care so much whether they start or come off the bench, and they're just all, they're all kind of joined together right now and the common cause of winning, you know, and it's been fun to see. It's been great to see, and the fans have responded the other night. I think our fans were terrific, you know, down the stretch there, and you know, a couple of the guys even said it after the game that the fans were terrific. So I think that's been one of the big things.
You got to like that. I mean, just I'm still thinking about just the overall attendance and the way these people are gravitating toward this team. We got one on the other side of the glass. Noel will fight anybody. You say something bad about this Atlanta Hawks team or take one of the guys off it. But I wanted to get you to spend a minute talking about the young talent on this team. You got the rookies in the center and everybody else that's contributing this year. You got a very, very young team. You got Trey as the old guy, which sounds kind of crazy, but still, your thoughts on this team right now in the youth?
Well, it's fun to watch. I mean, you know, Zach Risacher is 19. We know that. And, I think a lot of people, you know, who weren't all that familiar with Dyson, you know, he's only 21.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a kid himself. I think Jalen's about to turn maybe 23 in a little while. But, you know, they're all so young right across the front there. And then you've got Okongwu coming off the bench, you know, just a kid too. And, you know, then Trey's only 26, which, you know, he's been around 7 years now. So, you know, it's a great mix of young guys, the veterans like Bogey, who's really having fun with all of this. I think that he's enjoying it. The other night he was on our post game and was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just been, it's a great mix. And you know, Quinn has gotten his, you know, handle on this the way he wants it pretty much right now. And, you know, we all know what a terrific coach he is, but to be able to have the pieces available to him that he, you know, that he had envisioned when they're putting this team together, it's been great to see. And, you know, just pray that everybody stays healthy. And that's the whole key to the whole NBA, really, whoever stays healthy. I mean, look at Boston last year. They didn't have any injuries really to speak of, and they were able to go ahead and win. So that's the big key. The health is such a big key in the NBA.
Yeah. Talk about this matchup we got coming in today. We got a big fella who's coming off a 56-point night last night coming into town with Denver. And he's always hard to deal with.
Yeah, he definitely, for sure, Jokic, and I'm just doing I'm doing their stats and everything right now. In fact, as we speak, I'm doing the scorecard. But they sat out a few guys last night, so I don't know. Like for instance, if Murray's going to play tonight, he didn't play last night. Gordon was out last night. I don't know if he's going to play tonight, but Jokic had the 56, but they lost to the Wizards, so luckily. Luckily, they're not going to go 2-79 and say the only two games they won were against the Hawks. So now at least they beat the Denver Nuggets, too.
We'll see if that happens. That's coming up this evening here in town, which is fantastic. A lot of opportunities to get out and see this team during the month of December, and this is a big one that's coming up. Are you going to ready to pack your bags? And you know, the Hawks win in New York, and you're off to Vegas. Did ever in your wildest dreams – you think you'd be going to Las Vegas for a basketball game, Steve? You've been around this game for a long time, and you know the Hawks are going to win in New York, and you're going to get to experience this.
Well, you know, I think Vegas, Sam's going to have a team here pretty soon. Yeah. You know, in the next year or two, I think they're going to get a team, whether it be an expansion team or a team that maybe moves, you know, from another city. I think the owners are talking about all that right now, whether they want to expand it to the 32 or keep it at 30 and, you know, figure things out. But no, I didn't think we'd ever be going to Vegas. You know, the whole gambling thing was always such a taboo subject, you know, and a no-no. And it's still, you know, it's still something that, you know, we have to take a thing with the NBA every year, you know, to say about, you know, you don't tell people anything, don't, you know, this and that. But to actually go to Vegas where it's all wide open, I think I never thought it would happen, but it looks like now that we have this tournament and the Summer League is there every year, and it has been for quite a while, and then we're going to get a team there. That's mm-hmm. going to be the last – I think once the NFL put a team there too and the NHL, I think, you know, the NBA, it was certainly, you know, ready to follow along. And the gambling thing, I mean, like it or not, it's become such a big thing in sports now.
Yeah.
You know, DraftKings, FanDuel, all of them. And it's just it's an amazing thing to see over the years, really, where it was something that, you know, I mean, guys were kicked out of football, Paul Hornung and guys like that, you know, for gambling. And now all of a sudden it's like every place you turn, there's the ads for it.
Steve, we only have a minute or so left here, but I want to get your thoughts on a guy who does what you do. A lot of folks feel like he's the cornerstone and the gold standard, if you will, but not a lot of people who do what you do get the graceful exit, but it was announced this week that Hubie Brown, this is going to be his last season. And your thoughts on Hubie?
Well, Hubie's such a great guy, number one. You know, when we used to live up in Alpharetta, I'd see Hubie at Mass every Sunday and his family. And I'm just, you know, so sorry his daughter passed and Brendan passed. You know, I mean, it's a hard thing. I mean, I know that. You know, from experience, it's a hard thing to lose a child, and he's lost two of them. But what a great guy. I mean, I used to do a radio interview with him when I first came to Atlanta in 1981, 82, when he was coach. And, you know, he was just so much fun to talk to every day. And what a great basketball mind. He could still do it. He could go on forever. And mm-hmm. He's just a great guy, too. I just love seeing Hubie anytime he's around.
Yeah. I wanted to get his thoughts on because I figured he'd had some time with him. And Hubie is one of, like I said, these guys who do what they do, what Steve does, a lot of, you know, the networks don't always give them a graceful exit like Hubie's getting. And so I wanted to get Steve's thoughts
on that. But it's still a treat, man. It's still
a
great
broadcast. A lot of us will go out kicking and screaming.
On that note, listen, have a great call today, Steve. We look forward to having you back on the show. It's always a treat when you talk here.
All right, you guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go.
Thanks a lot,
Steve. Holman joining us. And reminder, we have got Hawks action not here on 92.9 The Game because we got Falcons in Minnesota. So you can find the Hawks versus Denver on V103, pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6 o'clock. And the night game, the Sunday night football game, we'll have for you here, too, in case you can't get in front of a TV. Chargers at Kansas City. Kick at 8:15. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Mr. Fricky follows us, correct? Mr. John Fricke is up after us, getting us set for a full day of football action. We got Falcons at Minnesota, pregame at 11 o'clock, kick at 1. Remember, the Hawks had taken on Denver. That's going to be down on V103, 6 o'clock tip. And then we got Sunday Night Football, Chargers at the Chiefs, 8:15. 8:15 kick. I was thinking, I was trying to transition into, because which you heard coming back, Beatles Help. This was the day that John Lennon was killed. And while now the biggest TV show in America is Sunday Night Football, then when this took place, it was Monday Night Football. And Howard Cosell made the famous announcement about the death of John Lennon during the game. We played that earlier. And Sam broke the news. Again, you don't think about it because this is 2 years before the most famous sports bar made its appearance in America, and that was Cheers, right?
Okay.
A sports bar that only had one little TV,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a sports bar. But you saw this 2 years earlier. You said you used to hang out at the Varsity.
The Varsity was a place you could go and watch games. This was a place in town, but you could go and get your what do you have,
mm-hmm.
and sit and watch a game in the different little rooms that had television sets.
So.
And it was before the coming of the sports bar that now you got so many screens in them.
You hit it on the swivel.
Had everything on there. Can I give a shout out to somebody?
What you mean?
We talked about essential workers and people who
yes.
on the job. Let me give a shout out to my friend, fraternity brother Mark Melvin with WSB with Channel 2 because we always watch the morning newscast.
Right.
And he's a photographer, and those guys out there with those live trucks shooting those live shots over again.
Yeah.
He's out there doing that. So he's out there on weekend mornings. That's where he is. You know, for those morning newscasts.
See, he's the people you don't think about because what you think about when they're on the anchors tell you, oh, we're trying to get a crew out to this, you know, incredible event that's going
oh,
on,
yeah.
and we'll get
oh,
the
yeah.
we'll get the news cut. And you think about the reporter. No, the reporter.
Yeah. Oh,
reporter's
yeah.
being told, get in here, get out. We got to go to this part of DeKalb County. Don't say they don't get as far as instructions or directions.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who's doing what you're talking about is, you know. He's the only thing that really makes that happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he don't know where he's going.
He's got to go there and find a spot. He's got to get there. He's getting things set up.
If he can get through traffic.
That's other things.
That's the other part of it. He got to know his way around the city.
And also before anything, if there's some type of crime scene, you know, you're going to have that yellow tape goes up, and then you're going to be way back from the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the thing is getting there and finding out a vantage point that people can look in the background and at least establish and see where you are. That's the important thing. You get somebody, you want a vacant feel, or you want some in the backdrop to say, okay, we're at police headquarters, or we're at a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got to get there and get that done. But there are people that for all of the stations in town who have morning newscasts on weekends, they're there. They got to be there. People right. tuning in and expecting to see it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sam Gregg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Can I address yeah. something that Steve had brought up?
Yes.
And while I think it's going to be exactly how he put it. Well, I don't know if it... Exactly. I just think it's going to be kind of difficult in this particular environment. And I say that because when he talked about the generations, we were talking about he was waiting for the second and third generations of Hawks fans, or
mm-hmm.
as he was putting it, Atlanta fans, the Falcons, the Hawks. These teams haven't been here for two, three generations like Cubs fans and
right.
Yankee fans and all
right.
that. But my thing is this. Those fans didn't have social media, didn't have TV, didn't have they didn't have outlets to seeing other teams to maybe sway. Like if I'm sure there was some divisions in families because daddy liked this team of the Yankees. So I'm going to pull for the Dodgers, who were still in New York, that generation that had three
oh, yeah.
teams
oh, yeah.
that were there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if that's going to be as easy to keep that locally as he thinks, meaning Steve thinks, okay, the next generation of Atlanta sports fans will all be or focus on the Hawks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said that's why with MLS, Atlanta United fans are Atlanta United fans. The league ain't been around that long.
That's right.
And so, you know, the fans here, they could be one or two LA Galaxy, and they just won MLS Cup, by the way, LA Galaxy fan of Chicago or whatever. But you for the most part, this is an Atlanta crowd when they go to that because the league hadn't been there that long. But the thing he left out, talking about the generations of fans that have been here, those folks keep moving here.
That's what I was going to say.
We had to move lanes to the freeway, and, you know, they come here, they bring in that jersey from wherever they've been. Now, if they get here and the team wins them over, they'll do that, and when that team comes to town, they'll dust it off and wear it to the game, you know, like the Cubs come to town. And what people may be Braves fans most of the time. When the Cubs come in, they go and dust off
that's
Lenny Banks jersey
right.
and wear it to the game. you know, because that's where they come from or that's what the grandfather watched and that type of thing.
But you know what? And then people like Noel yell at you for bringing that jersey out because yesterday you were a Hawks fan or
a
Braves fan.
But see? That's because I'm second generation now, and that's what Steve's talking about. So if I ever leave Atlanta, which I doubt, I would take my team with me and raise my family that way wherever we live at, and that's what we see with all these Steelers fans and Vikings fans. And
that's
so
what's
I do think that what Steve's saying is can happen. He's saying that second and third and fourth generation just has to come, and that comes with time.
And they're going to bring their fandom with them. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And we got the biggest airport, so they're going to be a whole other than what Sam's talking about with the league that hasn't been around that long. You're going to bring your fandom with you, I believe. And whether the – okay, there were a lot of people – I've been here for the Braves 2 World Series. But I grew up – I was, you know, my early butt behind beatings were I was skipping school and going to 1060 Addison. And I was hanging out watching the Cubs. And I brought that with me. But the Braves won me over, but you never forget your first.
You never
forget your first.
Well, and you obviously like to be around some teams that are winning, and the Braves have been a pretty consistent winner, especially since the 90s. They've been a pretty consistent winner in the team, so it's not hard for people to come in and get involved and get on board with them. The other teams have been a little more inconsistent. The Falcons, we just trying to get back to the playoffs for the first time since who knows when. And it looked like we were a cinch to get there early in the season. It ain't looking like that right now.
We're
very much concerned about this team as they get set to play later today, Greg. We really are. We want to see some things, some consistency with this team. We want to see Kirk Cousins go out. And to me, I want to see him not just lock into one receiver.
Yeah,
and he does that sometimes because I remember earlier in the season, maybe like week 3 or 4, I was like, there are other people on the field besides Mooney.
He was going
to Mooney so much that the defense knew it. It was just like, okay, no, and go ahead and punt because you blew that whole possession. So, but I think what Steve is really talking about is people like me, right? People that show up and hate to see all that gold and purple in my arena. People that show up and hate to be surrounded by Bears fans, for instance. Mm-hmm. Like, you need more of those, and I think that comes with just parental ties. Like, if my father really, really, really was that interested, I would probably be a Vikings fan. I probably wouldn't be a Falcons fan. I'm really, really, really that interested, so my children will be. Unless they are just compelled not to be anything else, they will
But you went against the parrot.
But that's because
right?
he wasn't interested in raising me Vikings. Like, I saw it because I was in the house, but it wasn't here. Put on this Vikings jersey and sit down next to me, and we gonna say "Boo Packers." Now I just picked up "Boo Packers" because
I'm glad
that's
you
what
did
was
that.
In the house.
By the way, for
oh,
the
yeah.
Bears fans, I'm glad you learned
oh,
that.
Oh, it was "Boo Packers" before "Boo Saints" for me because that's what I knew. I knew we didn't like the Packers. I knew Dad yelled on Sundays, and I knew because football was on Fox, I couldn't watch the Simpsons. That's all I knew at like 10, 11. 12 was completely different.
That's when it changed, huh?
That was the change. So I've seen a lot of Vikings football. I'll see some more today.
I just remember when one of the greatest Atlanta Braves of all time openly talked about what kind of Dodgers fan he was growing up, and that's Chipper.
Yeah.
When Kevin Herter got here, I thought it was so funny that, because, you know, when you draft the rookies and you send them out on the runs, whatever, they go to the different teams and they get celebrated or whatever. And he looked so unpleased with that Braves jersey on because he's a Mets fan.
Yep.
And he made it clear he was a Mets fan. He's New York everything. I call him
Giants.
Mr. New York.
Yep, Mets and Giants.
Exactly. And so it was like, oh, you got to put that Braves jersey on. I see it all on your face.
Oh. You don't want to do that.
All right. Well, anyway, like I said, I was thinking about that with Steve and what he said. Did y'all watch any of this? I know everybody's busy around here to do different stuff. So I have, while I'm putting together different things, casting call and stuff like that, I'm watching College Game Day. And I told you that it has become and morphed into one of my favorite shows. It went to a whole nother level yesterday on Saturday. She had to turn her mic off. She's laughing. She knows what I'm talking about. Sam, it was like we were in an Alabama football locker room.
Really?
Nick Saban was cussing openly. Did it twice on air. It was beautiful. I'm seeing something because I heard that, you know, once you get Nick Saban and Bill Belichick out of their element, they have personalities. I ain't seen Belichick's. I am over the moon with Nick Saban's.
Supposedly he does it well. I don't, you know, but all the news about him this week has been the possibility of him
North Carolina
or the North Carolina. I'm like,
would you really want that? Really? No, why you think that's a good thing?
Yes,
really.
Get him on a plane today.
Really? Why?
He gonna be there a minute.
Fix the program.
Fix him. You got to be able to recruit. You got to have somebody talented to recruit these days.
Well, you got to get him, and then you get you some younger coordinators that you can go out there and kind of use the razzle.
Excuse me, isn't his son on the staff? I believe his son's on the staff, right? That's what I heard. His son's on the staff, and I don't know what his position it is. I have just listened to people saying.
You just let Mac Brown go. I mean, don't you?
I heard Belichick or Arthur Smith, and I like either one, but I would lean towards Belichick. I feel like he could get the program together.
Arthur Smith is a North Carolina guy.
Here's my thought on that. Great. It won't happen because I think this was just a shot across the bow to let people know, I don't want to run everything. I don't want to do this. I'm letting y'all know I'll go to North Carolina if you just let me on the sidelines again. He just want to coach. So all the speculation about him wanting to go in and do whatever he did at New England at your place, he's letting you know, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to coach. And I think this is what this is about. Now, I will tell you there is a need at North Carolina in all top programs of what we're seeing now. First, it was dude from ESPN who left Woj and became the general manager. Now we're seeing it with Andrew Luck. College has got to have a general manager now in the NIL world. And if I saw the business side of Bill Belichick once Tom Brady exited and building a program and all of that sort of stuff, maybe I'd say, okay, well, that's why he's going to North Carolina. But the executive and the general manager, Bill Belichick, post-Tom Brady, didn't impress many people. So, I mean, I'm not exactly knowing what that job is, but we are watching people fill a position that heretofore wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's where Belichick's going and all that, but please.
I don't know if he goes to North Carolina. To me, the whole recruiting thing, at least with at the professional level, he knows who his team is going to be. He knows who his players are going to be. He's got control over who stays and who goes. Mm. He ain't got no control over that at the college level. I just don't see that being something that he will be able to do. I just think he wants back in the NFL, and I think Shula's record is being protected.
Okay.
And I got no problem with that. I think Shula's record is being protected, and I don't think any other NFL team is going to touch him.
Okay. There you heard it, Mr. Crenshaw. Yeah. That ain't too bad. I'm not going to just mention this as I get rid of this insignificant information. We sit here on December 8th, and so in history, you could imagine, and you know what happened yesterday, December 7th. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of things that happened in our history that came into play. To FDR's famous speech, A Day in Infamy, happened today. We entered World War II today because yesterday, December 7th, was that day in infamy. So all of that stuff happens. Frank Sinatra Jr. was kidnapped on this day.
Wow.
But here's my question to you and to Noel. Who's older, Nicki Minaj or Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard or Nicki Minaj? Both celebrating the birthday today. You are absolutely right. She is 42. He is 39. Happy birthday to both. Also, Terry Hatcher. They're spectacular. Sinead O'Connor, Mike Messina, Kevin Harvick, and Philip Rivers. Along with the people I mentioned earlier. Not a whole lot of folks out celebrating the birthday today. Anyway, stay warm, folks. If you get out there, if you're going to run out for a little while, you got to do some shopping. But get back, enjoy these games. Mr. Crenshaw, you got a big day today?
I'm headed over to Georgia State at 2 o'clock. Got women's basketball over there against Swanee at 2 today. And I do believe it's the ugly sweater game. I remember I got my ugly sweater.
You ain't got no ugly clothes,
Perry. I wouldn't, but no. Everybody wears a Christmas sweater to the game.
Well, that's different.
The coaches and everybody wears something with some Santa Clauses.
Yeah, but I seen your Christmas sweaters. They look smooth.
Yeah,
they ain't even ugly.
No, I went and found, one that's pretty bad.
Okay. Keep it out the studio. For the rest of you, just a reminder once again, in case you can't get in front of a TV, we got Falcons and Vikings pregame at 11, kick at 1. Hawks are taking on Denver. That game is down on V103. Pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6. And then tonight, Sunday night football, Chargers at the Chiefs. Pregame 7:30, kick at 8:15. We will be back next week. Oh, while I'm at it here, might as well tell you we got Cincinnati and Dallas tomorrow night. So in case you can't get in front of TV for that. We'll be back next Sunday. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Mr. Fricke is up here next. Thank you, Noel, for everything that you do and our guests. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.